And all of God's people said amen.
Amen.
Let us say amen again.
Amen.
We greet you this day in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who is alive and well. I likewise bring you greetings from the Consolidated Baptist Church on the north side of Lexington, where our saying is, the sun is always shining. And so again, we're just glad to be here with you. Let me say thank you to those that are responsible for my being here today. It is always an honor to be invited into these spaces to share, to encourage each of you, especially students, for it was almost 31 years ago that I crossed the stage at Southern Seminary there in Louisville, Kentucky, and in 96, the Lord brought my family and I, and my wife is here with me today, Sister Sarah, First Lady, if you will. Amen. Always good to see a friendly face in the audience, so we're grateful for that. But we're glad you are here on today. I want you to quickly just take a look around the room. Notice the persons that are sitting near you. These are individuals that God is going to use to change, to impact the world in which we live. God is a miracle-working God. He can do anything He desires to do. But most of the time, God works through people, of which we are part of that group. And so I want you to know, I want to put you on notice that I'm talking to you today. Amen. Individually and collectively. Again, we're glad to be here. We thank Sister Sissy Williams, Sister Sandra Williams for sharing with us in song, for the entire music team. Can we just bless them for what they've done today? They have set a wonderful atmosphere, and we thank our friend, Sister King, for leading us all in prayer today. And let us be mindful that after we leave here, to remember those persons she mentioned in prayer in the days to come. Amen. So pray with me, please. Even now, Lord, even now, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, we are the clay. Mold us and shape us according to your will. We are before you yielded and still. Speak now, O God, for your people are listening. It's in the precious, powerful, potent name of Jesus Christ that we pray and give thanks. And all the people together said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to share two verses of scripture from the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua with you on this morning. Even as we seek to honor the first African-American graduate of this distinguished seminary known as Asbury, we invite your attention again to Joshua chapter 24. Verses 14 and 15, the New King James Version reads as follows. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Such is the reading of the Word of God. I want to tag this text with this simple title for just a few moments this morning. We want to talk about community or chaos, your choice. Community or chaos, your choice. There's a gathering as we approach the text this morning of the people of God that's taking place. We are witnessing a time of renewing the covenant between God and God's people. Joshua has invited us into this text, not just as a casual observer, but as an actual participant on this very day. The text is complete with a preamble and a historical prologue. It all points to God's gracious actions on behalf of his people. It is complete with stipulations, including both curses and blessings. In fact, the first 13 verses of this chapter are filled with Joshua's recounting God's goodness toward Israel. This event or gathering is the first affirmation of the covenant after their entrance into the land of Canaan. Here we are with this people after a 40-year trek around the wilderness, and they are poised to take possession of a land promised to Abraham. Some of them have experienced the exodus from Egypt. They witnessed the 10 plagues that finally brought Pharaoh and Egypt to their prideful needs. Many present in the text walked through the Red Sea and looked back to see the handiwork of God, his strong right arm. The same sea they had walked through served as the burial ground for an army of those that sought after them. They were present when God provided in the wilderness water from a rock. They were present when Moses threw a stick into the bitter waters at Meribah and the water became sweet. They were present and participated in the meal when God provided quail in vast numbers. No hunting required, but God delivered them into the camp without their participatory efforts at all. They too ate manna from heaven, provided by God daily for their consumption. And if that was not enough, their shoes did not wear out and their clothing lasted the whole time. They really have moved from chaos and are seemingly headed toward community. But Joshua begins this time by recounting God's goodness in the past toward Israel. He begins with Terah, who was the father of Abraham. He tells of God taking Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and leading him into the land of Canaan. God gives Abraham many descendants through his son Isaac. Among those were Jacob and Esau. Esau received the mountains of Seir while Jacob and his children go down to Egypt. While there, they're growing so fast that they grew into a great nation, so much so that the Egyptians were fearful and began to oppress them. As mentioned earlier, God sent plagues, 10 to be exact, to usher in their freedom. Finally, God has now brought them into the land of the Amorites on the east side of the Jordan. Though the Amorites fought against the people of God, God destroyed them. The word of God states plainly that God destroyed the Amorites before them. Hear the word of God speak about what God did for his people in verses 11 through 13. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, all the sites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you, God speaking, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities you did not build, and you dwell in them, and you eat the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. After all the good God had done for them, Joshua now instructs the people to serve the God who had been so faithful to them. He tells them, put away the idols they had served on the other side of the river. Israel had not yet broken ties with the gods of Mesopotamia, as well as maintaining the false gods they served back in Egypt some 40 years ago. Joshua literally, through all the experience of his leadership and accomplishments behind this declaration to serve the Lord. I remind us here that Moses had died, and his accomplice in the mission of delivery to the promised land, Joshua, is now leading this people. He had seen the hand of God up close at work for the past 40 years, and his statement is, in lieu of what God has done for you, is it not reasonable for you to worship this loving and faithful God, one would think? Now, it's easy to peer from a distance and condemn the practices and habits of the Israelites abandoning proper worship of the faithful God. But the question must be asked, what about us in the here and the now? After all that God has done for us, where do we stand as people who claim to be the people of God? History, I would say, offers a mixed report, at least from my perspective. Yes, God has blessed us greatly with supply, He has blessed us with protection. He has blessed us with direction, even thriving as a nation and even some individuals. Yet full transparency reports we too have failed at times to honor and worship our God with actions aligned with His word and with His will. Greed for more, quest for power, domination of other people and entire nations, political upheaval, plain selfishness, political corruption, church failures, and the list goes on and on and on. Yet God has remained faithful. Even through His love and discipline, as a people, we ought to recognize that God has been good, that God has been faithful. As an African American, I can testify that God has been good. He has brought us through. By His grace, by His divine care, we have endured and survived some things. Denial of personhood, the mere passage on slave ships, slavery itself with families being violently ripped apart, a civil war, reconstruction, unjust laws and policing, redlining in our communities, redistricting, gerrymandering, educational and financial disparities, and yet here we stand. And even when success was being had, violent mobs appeared to destroy any signs of progress. Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I pause in remembrance. Rosewood in Florida. Central Park's present location in New York City. And the list goes on and on. But God has been faithful. Even now, we see a rollback of rules and regulations that were described as progressive, and we find ourselves as Christians, black and white alike, at a crossroads. Here it is. Do we go forward, or do we sit idly by and go backwards? Do we get involved, or do we sit this one out? Will we be active participants in transformation or casual observers allowing things to continue as they are? Our decisions will have consequences, and they could. No, they will be costly. But the question looming is this, found in the title of a book penned by the late Dr. Martin Luther King. Where do we go from here? Community or chaos? It's a good read. I recommend it. Whatever decision you make, do not write me off this morning. History is full of comeback stories, of God-lifting stories, of God-delivering stories, of persons being counted out, only to appear on the pages of history again. Joseph was counted out in a pit, but he showed up again in the palace. Moses was counted out after killing an Egyptian, but he showed up again. Peter was counted out at the arrest of Jesus, but he showed up at Pentecost. The dying thief on Jesus' right was counted off, but he showed up in glory. Such activities remind me of a poem penned by Maya Angelou entitled, Still I Rise. She said, you may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns, with the certainty of titles, just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my hardiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard? 'Cause I laugh like I got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from the past rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise into a daybreak that's wondrously clear. I rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. For the record, brothers and sisters, before you decide to jump into this fight, count the cost. For the ride could get rough. You may get tired and weary, but once in the struggle, I would encourage you to simply press on, because the future of all humanity hangs in the balance. Hear the words of this poem I offer you even now, entitled, Don't Quit. I offer it because the road gets rough. It gets long. It gets hilly. There are valleys. And sometimes you want to give up, throw up your hands, close your Bible and say, I'm done. When you feel that way, remember these words. Don't quit. When things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, you want to smile but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when they might have won had they stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight. When your heart is hit, it's when things seem worse that you must not quit. In bringing this dialogue to an end today, I offer the words of the Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Some time ago, he offered these words of challenge to a world looking upon the sufferings of an entire nation ripped apart by apartheid. Here are his words. If you are neutral in times of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse and you say you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. Let that sink in. Here and now, you get to choose. Every day, multiple times a day, you get to choose. By not choosing, you actually are making a choice. And as noted, choices have consequences. When the roll is called up yonder, where will you be found standing? Will we stand with the oppressed? Or will we stand with the oppressor? We ought to be found standing with God. We ought to be found standing with the vulnerable, with the least of these, the left out, the marginalized, the have-nots. God's got a soft spot for the oppressed. I know he's not a respected person, but he got a soft spot for the downtrodden. Will we stand with God? Will we stand for God? Will we be reported historically as operating in neutral? It's your choice. Will we build community, or will we allow chaos to reign? The choice is yours.